This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
13 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. It's Thursday, 28 July 2022. How are you? My name is Eno Gbevire. Yesterday there was a drama at the Senate because some senators wanted to have a conversation about starting the impeachment process for President Muhammadu Buhari over lingering insecurity plaguing Nigeria. And Senate President Ahmed Lawan refused to allow them, so they walked out during plenary. And several things have come out of that. First of all, the senators said the president should be impeached if after 6 weeks nothing is done to tackle insecurity. They would start the process if after 6 weeks nothing is done. I'm not sure why they chose to pick 6 weeks. They could have picked two, maybe three, but that's what they've said. And the president is going to convene a Security Council meeting today, Thursday. For those who may not know, this is the third that will be happening in the month of July. Tomorrow is Thursday, Friday, then the weekend comes upon us, and then Monday is August the 1st. So the minority leader of the Senate, Philip Aduda, raised the point of order asking the Senate President Ahmed Lawan to discuss the security situation in the country and the impeachment of the president. But Senator Lawan declined the request of the minority leader, saying the point of order raised fell flat on its face. And then we have Abaribe speaking on this matter. He was on Channels TV yesterday. And for those who may not know, he was former Senate minority leader. He defended the calls for President Muhammadu Buhari's impeachment, saying the federal government has not taken decisive measures to stem the tide of insecurity. Some time ago, there was this same move to impeach the president. And my guest at that time, Achike Chude, public affairs analyst who joined me from Lagos, said it was dead on arrival, that the Senate, as it is, the National Assembly, they will not move a finger. But here we are now, several threats, several attacks, prison breaks, several of them. And Abuja has now become, well, not as safe as it used to be. Several complaints about, you know, actions of terrorists. The last one, there was a report that they had attacked somewhere close to the law school and some soldiers were taken. But of course, the Defense Ministry came out quickly to say no, nothing of that sort happened. And now we have lots of checkpoints in Abuja because there is, you know, some report that there could be attacks by terrorists. So all of this put together, the senators, the minority senators, think it's time for something to be done. But Abaribe said that terrorists have continued to launch attacks, series of attacks. And of course, he cited the one that happened in Abuja on Monday night, where at least three soldiers were killed when they ambushed the presidential brigade guards who were on patrol along the Kubwa Buhari Road in the FCT. And he said, on the security meetings that have taken place and the one that will take place today, how many security meetings have we had? Every time something happens, you gather all of them and say you're going to have another security meeting. Nothing comes out of it. It gets worse. And so this is what it is. This is where we are. I know several of you have called in at different times to say the insecurity is getting out of hand. I'm not sure why we had to get here as a country, you know. But would you support the move for the impeachment of the president at this time? Or you think he's done all he can? It's not his fault. The service chiefs should do more. Or perhaps we should just be patient and wait out the remaining 9 months until the end of his tenure. My guest should join me somewhere in between. 0817923002, 0817923003, 0817923009. We're on Facebook at NigeriaInfoPH, on Twitter at NigeriaInfoPH as well. Would you support the move by, well, minority senators? Oh, by the way, Femi Adesina had something to say about this. Presidential media spokesperson had something to say about this. Very displeased by the actions of the senators. He called them, they're the minorities of the minority. Let's see.
Those who spoke today are the minority of minorities. They will have their say as is needful in a democracy. Why do you not go beyond that? I think it was just bravado. And very sadly, security is not something you subject to bravado. And you don't begin to issue flippant ultimatums in something that is a matter of life and death. They know in their hearts of hearts that they cannot achieve what they're saying. They're just now, the question is, are those minority lawmakers responding now because the thing is coming near to Abuja, their comfort zone? Is that why they were playing to the gallery as you saw them earlier? Well, they are Nigerians. They have a right to talk about what is happening in the country. Everyone is concerned. But if they were like going into that bravado because it's coming nearer home to them, then it's not altruistic. They are just mindful of themselves, of their own well-being, of their own security. What matters now is the security of the entire country.
All right, Femi Adesina there. Why now? Is it because it's getting closer to Abuja, their comfort zone? 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009. Good morning, you're on IG Info. Let's talk.
Good morning. Chike Daniel Imogeto Zakrasa. Yes, I don't think it's proper. If you impeach our president now, who will take over?
Oh, the vice president will take over.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
When he takes over, he will not become a miracle worker. Are they all not in the same ship? What will change? That is my question. When Osibajo takes over.
Okay. So for you, it's neither here nor there. They should just allow the president to continue, even if he can't deal with the issues of insecurity. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, good morning, Eno. My name is Osaro Justice.
You're on.
You see, the thing for impeachment is overdue, and I really support it. You can have a retired general, and we're having this kind of security threat. Meanwhile, we have a strong army in this country. And the president is not doing anything. I'm not even going to say he's not doing enough, because this thing is lingering and is escalating. And the most annoying part of it is the statement of his spokesperson, Femi Adesina. People are clamoring, they have seen trouble, and they are calling for a move that if he doesn't do this, the president should be removed from office. And he's talking about minority. They leave substance in this country to play politics with everything. It is shameful. Very, very shameful. He's talking about the minority. People are dying. And he wouldn't focus on the reality of what the minority senators are raising. Is it because nobody can do anything because they have the house? And that is impunity our leaders use in this country. That, okay, they can't do anything. They don't complain. They'll keep quiet. He should be ashamed of himself for making that statement.
All right, thank you for calling. Abdiye is in GRA. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Well, it's really sad when he's here, especially when he's here from it's of the president. I'm just listening to Adesina's comment, his response rather. And it doesn't seem to bother them that some senators, they call them minority of minorities, that is because the thing is coming closer to them. You can imagine the insensitivity. Okay, what if it is coming closer to them? What if it is so close that they are so scared they have to make that move? That's beside the point. The point is that Nigeria is burning. Nigeria is unsafe. And these senators cannot hold it anymore. And that's why they are taking these decisions. The very fact that some senators are even beginning to think of impeachment should be a concern to all Nigerians. To all Nigerians. But look at the response of the presidential hit. It's really sad, really. As I speak with you, I'm telling you, I had a conversation with some friends. All of them are talking about leaving this country. All of them.
All right.
Not even one.
All right.
So, I don't know if the people that were elected to run this country, okay, what are the basic responsibilities of the government? The welfare of the people, security, you know. And they failed woefully. This is a country where you have people in power. They only fixated in power. All they think about is to hold on to power and sit there doing absolutely nothing. I have never seen this kind of thing all my life.
No, you want
to be in power to do nothing. Just to sit there and then hold on to power. Look at the Senate president.
All right, that'd
be it. Every move to get the president to sit up. That's what it is. I'm not surprised because when he opted to become the Senate president, his only reason was that he's there to protect the president and to ensure that every bill that the president brings forward will pass. And yet, Nigerians looked at such a man and elected him Senate president.
Thank you for your time.
They're getting what they asked for. They're getting what they asked for.
Thank you for your time. Walker Richie says, one day this man will leave the power corridors of power. He won't have security details attached to him. He won't have police escort to enter the streets. Then you don't know what happens to a president when they leave office. You just don't know. If you knew, you wouldn't type what you just typed anyway. My guest is here, but we have to go for the commercial break in a bit, so I will have to hold off on bringing him on air. Hannah says, good morning. I support the move by the minority senators to impeach Mr. President. Buhari should go. Let Oshibajo take over from him. His regime has done more harm than good to Nigerians. Impeaching the president is like bending a smoked fish and wishing it doesn't break. Jesse sent that in. My name is Enoch Bevere. We talk in another 13 minutes. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for staying tuned. We've got just about 20 minutes to wrap this up this Thursday morning. My guest is here, Dr. Ntika Kuntia. Good morning, Dr. Ntia. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. So I'm sure you followed the conversation on your way, even though you were stuck in traffic. That seems to be a thing these days. So we have Senator Abaribe saying that he's in support of those calling for the impeachment of the president. Where are you on this? And this is not the first time. You know, they've mentioned it.
My worry is this can be distracting from the real issue.
Okay.
Because once you get into this mode, it's political, completely political. Survival and all of that. They begin to do party politics, everything, partisan, who are you loyal to? How do you quash the impeachment? You can see Femi Adesina's response as well. It's almost denigrating the import of what they're saying, you know, and I also agree with Shehu Sani that this is a little bit late in the day because you won't impeach me in one week or in 1 month. You know, it's a long drawn process and it can be very distracting. But the biggest signal there is a signaling that, look, dude, this is how bad this is. If you didn't know before, because there's a general feeling that he's very aloof. The president's very aloof around everything in Nigeria. When the few times you get public conversations with the president, he's come to address issues, he must come as if, really? Is that bad? Okay, riots act like that, military, it doesn't work. So as you wake up and then you say, okay, in 2 weeks, solve it. Where were you? Where have you been? How many, all these months? That kind of lack of, there seems to be a lack of engagement with the burning issues, you know. And but more worrisome for me is, I keep asking everyone I know in security circles and all of that, what's really going on? And I say this because the toga of terrorism should be, it's been usually on four very key elements, you know, violence or threat of violence or any other means of disruption of state infrastructure. And then there is usually a social or political goal being sought, you know, and then you harm the vulnerable, so civilians or whatever, and all that to put the leadership or government, whatever, under pressure to act and all of that. and sometimes I'm asking myself, is that still what is in play? Because you get, if you think about it, if let's take Boko Haram for example. You come in as Boko Haram and you have an ideology, and usually an ideology based thing. That was the fourth part I missed out. So the question is, so is that still what is in play?
Mm.
If so, what is the end goal? You know?
Well, some people have said it's Islamization of Nigeria.
But then you are actually, so that if that is the end, if Islamization of Nigeria is the end goal, then okay. So if that's what it is, so you're not even demanding it. You're going to just force it to happen.
Yeah.
You know, there used to be this thing about a tacit backing or tacit sort of enabling by the government because of perhaps their own ethnic religious sort of affiliations, you know, to this and a sort of some kind of sympathy for it, or tacit enabling of the whole thing and all of that. But they're actually more the victims now than anything else. I'm just, you know, they're being attacked directly. So it's not them saying, typically with the Islamization agenda, you'd say kill Christians, kill all of that, you know, much further down, as you see with the headspin conversation, if you like, back in the day. But right now, man, it's back to, back home, they're actually dealing with their
own people. But it's always the way it's always been. You empower these people for something.
Yeah.
And the question everybody keeps asking is, so when you give them the guns, how do you retrieve the guns?
They'll overrun you. I mean,
and they get funding now from outside.
Mm.
So you're going to be a victim.
We're nearly in a perfect storm for, you know, we've always been one step from disaster in Nigeria, sort of. I mean, it's always been like that. But I don't think I've been as, I'm going to use the word scared, at any time in my life as a Nigerian, as a big Nigerian optimist, as I am currently right now. We haven't got the economic buffer to help us through, because desperation is the worst thing you have to have in society, because it makes everybody behave absolutely all that. And that's one step, almost one step from anarchy. You know, they say if you go to Zamfara, for example, beyond Guzo, every other part of the state is literally run by these groups. Borno, of course, already been where Borno's been, got back some territory, they've taken some back. It's a back and forth issue, like about territorial grab, which is what sort of ISIS was known for. And around that belt, so when you go there, it means that rule of law, forget it, it's out of the window. And one of the things we forget, why people run away from like Nigeria, go around, is the intangible. I want a stable structure I can depend on, so I go out and come back, it's there. In 4 or 5, I can pretty much, it's an even sort of steady state. And so that intangible is the value of life in those sort of climes, and we're seriously eroding it more and more. You wake up and you're like, you know what, everything could go to, wake up, dollar is 710, dollar gets to 1,000. So even if you are rich in Nigeria, tomorrow you wake up, you're a pauper. So there isn't, and it's alarming.
So someone put up yesterday, I just wanted to confirm, it's 1 million divided by 710, it's $1,408.
You probably will still be around minimum wage if you're in the US with that.
You are minimum wage.
So
with $1 million, so $10 million is about 10,000. No, 10 million naira,
mm-hmm,
is about $10,000.
That's something. You're supposed to be on top of the world.
And that's, yeah, that's,
you have
a lot
10 million
of,
naira
that's
in Nigeria.
Nigerian money.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Increasingly, what that can do for you continues to shrink and shrink and shrink. And so there isn't the economic buffer, because what we do, we work, we do everything to plan.
Yeah.
And part of that is putting away, okay, assets, like this is liquid, whatever, and they are valued in naira, if you're here, for example. And then increasingly, it's buffeted by winds that are beyond our shores. So there's too much going on. You have the Ukraine war, all of that happening. It's pushed the entire world this way. Mm-hmm. Recessions are going on everywhere. We've not recovered from the pandemic. You put this one, then you bring this, our local situation that nobody seems to be able to tackle and push back.
Yeah, but we have this thing with security chiefs, the meetings that the president usually has.
Oh, please. You said something earlier on about helplessness.
Mm-hmm.
It does appear that they're clueless as to, and this is not putting the, I mean, it just might be that, like, I don't know if it's a lack of true intelligence or the means or that leaning back. I'm telling you that I probably think, and you know, people will come and tell you, oh, we can't disclose because of security. Rubbish. Outcomes are the key thing here, and it's not happening. It's worsening. The Brigade of Guards is the most elite part of them. This is the potential. It's the guys who guard the leadership of the country, if you like. So the training of that is another level entirely, and all of that. So when you get a group that says, I'm comfortable enough to go and take out or attack Brigade of Guards.
Yeah, but you forgot that a few, was it last week, they mentioned that they were going to
abduct the president.
Was it this week? Yeah, I think it was on Monday that they were, yeah, they threatened to abduct the president. No, that video that was released.
And they're following through on it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the degree of impunity. Like, you know what? And there's almost a confidence. I mean, you saw the Abu Sani interview, for example. They believe that this is, I don't understand why you're talking like, is there something wrong with this? I'm doing this because I think this is right thing to do. From their perspective. So there's righteous indignation. There is all of that from a large swath of people, increasingly larger every day. And the more they gain ground, the more people will follow them. And there are people who have sentiments that are sympathetic to that and all that.
And there's poverty also, the weapon.
So you're running the whole Taliban scenario all over again, the ISIS scenario all over again, and then it depends on how far does it go. And then that's what I'm saying, that it really comes to the point, my God, everything we've known and grown up and been used to, that structure and all that, Nigeria, and I live here, I go, and all that, I just wake up one day and there's nothing to... I mean, all of this is making what's happening elsewhere in the country pale in significance. Mm-hmm.
And no real development is taking place.
Absolutely. Because, in this context?
Because the election's around the corner and the politicians have stopped working. They're just starting away or stacking away.
To get back into
nobody's office. Accounting to... well, they never were accountable anyway. So right now it's just deaf ears and let's just run what we can run before we run.
And then your debt to GDP, your debt to revenue is turned upside down completely. You're going to put you 120% now to... Where? Everywhere you turn, there is true desperation. It was one step from anarchy, and it's going to erupt. My worry is that we haven't even reached the peak of it, so to speak, because it seems to be escalating at some, you know, almost exponential sort of pace.
Yeah, but the thing was, a few days ago, I saw some fighter jets that were brought in. So every now and then we see these things.
Oh,
the jets will be brought in, some riots are to be read. But the prison breaks too, you know. Kuje prison break. I saw a post yesterday. Someone was claiming that someone said there were 44 alerts before that eventually happened.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think could have happened in that scenario? Because it is... Kuje is in Abuja. I mean, it's in FCT. Yeah, just a few minutes away from Abuja.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was very concerned. Proximity to the airport.
It's just right there.
Yeah.
It's not some backwater place.
Yeah, maybe about 7-8 minutes, maybe 10 to the airport at that time of the night. And they operated for a long time and there was no resistance.
So that's what I'm talking about, this apparent helplessness. Because when you say something, it's like, okay, you say, okay, is there collusion? I actually think there's helplessness. I actually think the level of impunity that's going on is that, stack any kind of military, whatever information you have, we will break it. We can do that. The same thing you see in the Southeast Asian, for example, where you pass the most military, that's where we're going. And it's scary. Because normally you attack the most civilians, you know, people who are defenseless and all of that, and then use that to influence. But no, I'm going where the real, you know, pact ends.
So they go for the military, then they kidnap the civilians, and
yeah,
then
somehow
the money in circulation comes to them. They get paid.
To sustain another the cycle, if you like, of
terror.
Nigeria is number 3rd index in Africa right now. We've moved to number 3, third worst in the continent. We're not in a war situation. We're fighting a war and actually believing that life is going on normally.
Yeah,
we're in the middle of a war we haven't declared or something.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's the impeachment. So while I completely don't want to waste time on the political, because it's going to just get distracting, but the point is that it's the signaling, it's the fact that you haven't acted like we are fighting a war. There's a way you declare, like when you saw the war on terror, like when the US was hit in 9/11 and all that, you saw that they pulled all the stops, changed major parts of their structure, everything. The Department of Homeland Security became a mother of all kind of organizations for security and all of that. Intel gathering was at its all-time high. But, you know, did they make some, of course, they went too far in some areas, for sure. But you saw a response that nobody doubted that there was a response.
Mm.
It is that degree of energy around the response that I miss. There seems to be reaction.
And there's no plan.
Yes,
so when they do this, pursue them,
Absolutely. So, you know, from the tail is back in the dog.
You know, when we were talking about the ASUU strike, someone said, Yar'Adua was a lecturer. He got into office. He couldn't do anything about the ASUU strike. Jonathan, who was also a lecturer at some point, got into office, couldn't do anything about the ASUU strike. And he believes that if two teachers who had been in the system, who are now presidents, cannot fix it, nobody can. Now we have a former general. And the issue now is insecurity. And he can't fix it. What does that say? Because, I mean, from those who want to go and sit in ASUU Rock, I mean, apologies, but that's what I just think. They want to go and sit there. They don't, they're not military people. They don't have the depth that Buhari has.
If you like.
Yeah, he has. He had. Yeah. So, what is it? What are they going to do? Because people are still hungry, and because they're driven by poverty, oh, I support this, I support that. And nobody's been able to tell us how they're going to, how their candidate is going to fix insecurity, which is the biggest problem right now. Some people don't understand that what's going on in Borno or in Zamfara affects what they eat in Port Harcourt, because the goods have to move.
Clearly.
The cattle have to move. Clearly. So if they're not able to feed them there, that means it's going to be costlier when he gets here. Tomatoes, I mean, everything that we eat, even the fish here is very expensive. So basically everything we eat.
And that's the thing, every index you look at is just going off the charts. Medium-sized to
So if a president who has military background cannot work this, what will those who want to go and sit there be able to do?
But then maybe the solution is not entirely military.
Okay.
Because, like I said, there's always a socio-political component to this if you look at it from a struggle component and a perspective.
Yeah, but if you say, okay, so let's say it's not 100% military. Look at what Emefiele is doing with the economy. Still under the same president. And you know, it's going to take a lot to rewind
this government,
or recoup all,
oh my God,
get something back. 710 naira to $1. The pound is over 800 naira. And you can't even find. Someone tweeted yesterday, the whole of Victoria Island, no dollar. No exchanger. And the CBN has said, oh, ignore the parallel markets. They don't... We have it. So where is it? People apply, they can't get it.
It's the stark reality of where we are. It is that's what I'm saying. And
so,
that's
this, so you're saying it might not be military. Maybe it might be... What else? What other option?
So, like I said, if you go... I mean, there's a whole history of how in the beginnings of all of this have come... I don't think there's a magic wand around this sort of thing. Yes, there must be a very strong military response, but it in itself, I mean, for example, the entire northern border is very, very porous. Mm-hmm. It's a huge trade route. Huge millionaires are running the whole
Even show. The Lagos route, the same thing.
Everything. So there are many other, you know, subterranean factors that run the show and all of that. There is, I do, and while nobody always brings that to the top of this commission, in this sort of things, the guys who, there are people who, so whatever different parties are at play, getting to sit, you know, sometimes you ask yourself, you know, you listen to this last interview from BBC, and he's talking about that, we Florence have been badly treated. I'm like, okay, hold on, excuse me, yeah. You know, but again, so you see there are subterranean influences running different things, and you say, okay, you know, henchmen attacking bandits, you know, so the different things are playing, sort of, where can you sit and find that nexus that say, okay, you know what, hey guys, strong military presence, yes, so that don't mess around. If we agree this is what it's going to be, you have to be afraid of the military, because if they come through, then they could obliterate whatever it is you're doing on the ground. That has to be clear. But then, you know, it never ever ends. The military solutions are not in themselves sustaining, yeah, long-term, they don't have long-term sustenance. You know, you can win the battle but lose the war. You know, but even that angle, we're not seeing, you know, I just don't see it in the body language of the folks who run these things, in the outcomes we're hearing day and day. I mean, 35,000 people have been killed in Borno State alone on record this year. How many more? You know, and it looks far and distant and all of that, but we've seen parallels everywhere you turn around in the country. This is to terrorism alone. I'm talking about crime and all of that. So, the war on terror from the Nigerian leadership is not something that I have seen come through with the kind of energy and gusto that would give me any kind of comfort. So, impeachment is a distraction. It's a waste of... there's a point to be made there to say, this is how serious this is. Someone saying, okay, because it's happening in Abuja now, and that's where the LGT and all that. Let's even leave all of that. The point is that everybody used to relocate to Abuja to say peace,
safe,
calm, and all of that. So the safest haven in metropolitan heaven in Nigeria, if you like, becomes a place where I'm sorry, you know, it's almost militarized right now. Mm-hmm. Because it's become like a police state. Mm-hmm. Then you really begin to ask yourself very, very hard questions. It's not one that is a quick. There's no solution, but there's also, you know. So even in the helplessness, it's the way that I try my best, and maybe my best isn't good enough. We're not seeing that concerted. I'm sorry, you know. And it doesn't mean you have to come and publish in the paper of every newspaper. There's a certain series of actions that will begin to almost show that are we, you know, dealing with this head on? Are we throwing all our might behind and all of that? You know, I mean, if you look at, for example, the Obibo thing happened in River State some while back, there was that response. Some people would describe it as heavy-handed, but you couldn't doubt that government there was a response.
Okay.
And then we deal with the fallout, you know, sort of after that. I'm not saying that's always what's the best thing to do, but nobody doubted that there was a response where might have to come and play, then have a conversation after that. Kind of thing.
Thank you, Dr. Ntiga Kuntia, for your time. That's where we'll anchor the show today. We'll see what happens in coming days.
We hope for the best.
All right.
Prepare for the worst, maybe.
All right. We're Nigerian Info. My name is Inel Gbevere. Thank you for joining the conversation. It continues online on Twitter and Facebook at Nigerian Info PH.